Brutally Speaking Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rockabilia.com. For over 30 years, Rockabilia has been the go-to destination for all things band merch. With over 500,000 items in their online store and collaborations with today's hottest bands, you're sure to find something you love. Use our code BREW10 at checkout and take 10% off your total order. So go pick up your favorite new piece of merch now over at Rockabilia.com. Now, on to the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Brutally Speaking Podcast. I am your host, John. This episode's guests are Fox and Drew of See You Next Tuesday. It was really cool getting to chat with these dudes before their show here at the Pyramid Scheme in town. And honestly, a few things about the show itself. It was really cool kind of to see so many rad bands. I'm blanking on the opening band, but they were a local band. And Mouthful of Locusts, that was who they were, their band name. It was really cool to see them. Also, just to see their one guitar player had something going on. I'm not sure if it's a condition or whatever, but had limited mobility, but was able to just fucking rip on guitar. And the band was really tight, and they sounded really good, and just interesting. Great local showcase of kind of our more extreme side of music. Death Club had Justin from The Locust in it, so it was kind of cool to get to see him in his new-to-me outfit. And the big surprise for me, honestly, was Meth. I'd never heard of them, didn't check them out before the show, and just really enjoyed the sets. A lot of their stage presence and visuals, as minimal as they were very effective in really just captivating me as an audience goer. And I think the other thing for me too was just seeing throughout the whole night, even with See You Next Tuesday and every band, was kind of seeing at times how you can push the extreme genres of metal, grind, whatever you want to call it, into all these different atmospheres. You know, like a band like Meth, I think, kind of got a little bit more technical and proggy at times. And just to kind of see the diversity and range of what that looks like. And, you know, I had kind of made a post earlier that actually I think the night before I did this podcast recording, I had posted about how sometimes I feel like I fall out of love with extreme music because it's not necessarily the tropes I want to say. It's more, I honestly want to say, I think it's more of the fans and just the online gatekeepy bullshit. And sometimes seeing it and hearing it at shows as well, where you're just like, why are you being a fuck like at this show? People are here to have a good time. You don't need to be overly aggressive and just crowd killing. In like, I think one of my favorite memories of this shit was seeing Twitching Tongues, Code Orange at the same venue to like 30 people. And there was a dude just straight crowd killing the whole time. And you're like, there's not like no one's doing that. No one's like actively really moshing. Like it just is not the vibe. And I just remember being like, this is why I sometimes really fucking hate this scene that I love, but I'm conflicted with. It's a duality of sorts on my own part. But I really had a great time at the show, and it was really cool getting to hang and chat with Fox and Drew. And, you know, a year later, here we are. As I'm recording this, Relapses is officially out, almost a year to the day of Distractions coming out. It's out now via Good Fight Records. Go check it out. A lot of awesome artists reinterpreting, remixing Distractions material. And, you know, I feel like a lot of this idea of a remix album in metal, rock, whatever, just doesn't really exist anymore. And really thinking back to the days of, like, I can remember, like, Spine Shank doing it. Obviously, Fear Factory doing it. Like, so many bands back in the day used to have, like, remixes of songs on their albums, bonus material, whatever. So to see You Next Tuesday kind of bringing it back, I think was really cool and an idea that honestly I'm kind of surprised more bands don't do. But I do understand that it is quite the undertaking in a lot of capacities, and some of those we talk about in this chat. But really cool to be a part of this thing. It's been really cool getting to know the guys and See You Next Tuesday a lot more. Fox was the only one I really knew to begin with. But getting to know Drew a lot more and chatting with him, and just the hospitality of Rick and James and everybody, just really awesome. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Drew and Fox, and I will talk to you on the other side of it.
Pod mic.
All right. Well,
you're gonna
thanks.
Speak
up, right? Oh, okay.
My hearing is fine.
Well,
fine. Let's
fine.
Just scream at each other.
Hey!
Hey!
Sorry, sound check was like 10 minutes ago.
All right, yeah.
So we're here at the Pyramid Scheme. It's loud. You might be able to hear some hip-hop music, but at the end of the day, fuck you, because this is what you do when you do something live. You got to deal with everything around you.
Exactly.
So it's been a while, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing it again.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us again.
You look like you're about to pull like a sweet like Eddie Vedder, getting ready to croon some shit, like just like really
more
getting into
my Jonathan Davis.
The track sheets are on those guys.
Right, yeah.
So I guess, you know, cliche question right out the gate: how has it been with the new record out? Because we got to talk.
No, that was before Distractions.
It actually
yeah.
Came out.
Okay. It's been great. It's been fucking awesome. It did way better than any of us expected. And we didn't really know if people would even remember or, you know, give two fucks. But it seems like they do. Yeah. At least one fuck, you know? So
it's weird. I feel like intervals still get skipped over.
Yeah.
Like people are like, yeah, Parasite's so great. And Distractions is pretty good, too. It's like... Hey, we got another record.
Yeah, there's a middle guy, the middle child.
Wait, is that one that Nate Johnson's on?
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, you and I were messaging the other day to Drew, I'm speaking to. I forget that in doing this in a live setting where people won't be able to see a video, have to address who I'm actually talking to. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you and I, Drew, the other day were texting about how... Like, I was like, I feel like if I were to put a set list together for you guys, it'd be, like, more of a fucking vibe than, like, okay, yeah. Here's, like, all the songs we're going to play, everything you know, mostly, like, Parasite, maybe one or two off of Intervals and a couple off the new record. I was like, I would go the two or three songs off of Parasite that kind of send and lead way into Intervals and kind of showcase where everything was going and just really fucking wallow in the misery of what I think kind of makes, what makes Intervals and Distractions so great, like, when you kind of really hone in on... something like that I said that I think you just kind of have to sit in as an adult and wallow in it.
Our live set, we try to we have like a whole block that's like Intervals stuff, because like kind of you said, like that record has such a vibe to it that it everything makes sense when it's right next to each other, because it's just like, you know, downtuned chaos after downtuned chaos, so it really works live too. So
and then, you know, I mean, I feel like I'd be remiss to not bring up, you know, with remissions, is that it?
Relapses.
Sorry. I knew it. I just kept thinking like therapy type things where it's like,
yeah,
okay,
basically.
Like addictions and remissions and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Distractions was my, you know, was my path to finding sobriety again in my life, you know. So Relapses is just kind of like, I guess, you know, apropos name for it.
How long have you been sitting on that idea?
We kind of tossed ideas. I mean, it's something that it mostly came from us talking about Fear Factory a lot.
The remix record.
From Remanufacture is their remix
Demanufacture.
And I was absolutely obsessed with Remanufacture as a kid and most of their albums. But we were just kind of like, Drew and I are like huge electronic music fans. And we were like, kind of what if we did that with Distractions, you know, and it just kind of a couple months after Distractions came out, well, we started kind of toying with the idea.
Yeah, I think the like the fire starter of it all was, you heard the new Frontier track that we did with Frontier?
Yes.
Okay, so like that track, I know I've explained this on the internet a bunch of times, but it's kind of hard to understand. So essentially, Strange Music, the closing track to Distractions, I had started writing this like industrial electronic passage for that song. Like it kind of like where it ends now, it picked up into this like kind of more electronic vibe. And like literally, I would say 2 or 3 days before we sent it in for mastering, like Fox and I were talking about it. We're just like, there's just not enough stuff on this record.
It didn't fit.
Fit at all. And at the same time, I didn't feel like it was done yet. You know, like I had some drums and stuff on it. It was nothing like what it is now,
right,
with the help from Chad and Pedram. But I think that in my head was like my first like starting point was like, I really want to introduce like more electronics with us. I wanted to introduce more electronics with our music, but I didn't want to just dump it inappropriately, I guess, you know. That's what it really boiled down to, is like, all right, let's just cut this, and I have this cool like music and stuff, and I just kind of sat on it. And then really, I think February of last year, we're on tour with Bandit, and we played in Baltimore, and one of the remix artists that ended up doing a track with us is Curly Swope from Zombie Shark.
Okay.
And him and I were just chit-chatting in the back room at the Metro in Baltimore, and I kind of just was telling him about that I had some electronic stuff I'd been working on, and Fox and I were kind of tossing around the idea of doing something similar to remanufacture and demanufacture, and he was just like, I want in. Because Zombie Shark is all like, it's kind of cyber grind meets deathcore kind of stuff, you know? And really cool stuff. Kid's a wizard, man. He's got some good ideas up in his head for sure. But yeah, so he was like one of the first people I even like pitched it to outside of Fox. And he like basically kept begging me about it. And then, you know, over the next 2 months, him and I had chit-chatted a few times. And then we finally pitched it to Good Fight. And this is like a true testament to a great label. It's literally like, this is a really weird idea. I like it. Let's do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like, it was really cool that Good Fight was just like right out of the gates. Like, it's really weird. And I don't know if anyone is going to like it, but the last time we did something weird like this, it was like our my favorite record that he ever put out, you know, speaking for Rick of Good Fight. But so yeah, it was really, really cool that they, right off the bat, we're just like, yeah, let's just try it out, see what happens. And I mean, so far, you know, we're 3 singles in. It comes out in a couple weeks now, and all 3 singles have had great, 4 singles, I guess, because we released 2 together. But yeah, I mean, it's a confusing record, though.
Yeah, just because, you know, I really hope that, you know, it is us, but it's also not us. It's other people's interpretations of our songs for the most part that we've had a guiding hand with,
right?
Except for the 2 songs that we, you know, the Frontier split or collaboration, and then the beginning track we had a hand in. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny bringing up like demanufacture, because I remember thinking to myself when it was announced that you were doing that, I was like, oh shit, like I haven't really seen something like this since, you know, Fear Factory used to do it with a lot of like those bands on like Roadrunner and stuff like that, or even like in a kind of different tone or like whatever, but like you get like the Chris Lord Algae mix, and then like you get someone else remixing it,
right,
and different like producers getting their hands on it.
I was even thinking that when that first Spawn movie came out, they kind of did the same thing with all
like
those like run.
And
like they had like, you know, some sort of electronic group pair up with like, you know, like Kirk Hammett was with whoever, and then Silverchair did a fucking song with whoever, and Korn did a song with, I don't remember the exact matchups, but you know, it's kind of the same vein as something like that, you know.
Yeah.
The whole idea of a collaboration was really something that intrigued me too, I guess. I mean, that was like part of it, and like since working with all these other artists and stuff, like it's been such a treat to just like give control to somebody, you know, that like, you know, their track record of musicianship, and you know they're going to do something awesome. Like one, yeah, you know, like John Connor, for example, from the Netherlands.
I thought it was the John Connor from Flint.
No.
I don't know if you guys are aware of him.
No.
He's a rapper.
John Connor is the two brothers from LLNN.
Oh, I'm talking with them in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
They're super tight. I just found out about them.
They're one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, they're so good.
And Ketel, I don't know how to say his name. Yeah. The one of the brothers is also in the band Eyes, which I don't know if you're familiar with them at all.
Heard of the name only through...
They're very cool. They're kind of like... Honestly, it's like Canada Songs style, like I wouldn't say daughters, but they have that vibe, you know, okay, what I mean, to them, like those dissonant chords and like weird drum beats, and but they also have like this kind of like Every Time I Die vibe to them. But yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it's like Fox and I have been fans of like all of their music that they put out, and I never knew them whatsoever. I never talked to them whatsoever, and I just randomly was like, hey, we're doing this project, and like, here are some of the bands that are involved, and here's the track that we'd like you to be a part of. Let me know what you think. And they came back and were like, we like your grindcore song. We would be honored to remix for you. But yeah, it's really cool. It's fun because they're like 6 hours apart, so like, I'll hear from them at like 6 a.m, you know?
Right, yeah, no. Well, I mean, that's sort of how it's been, ironically, speaking of LLNN. Like, a friend of mine was like, dude, I know you like ignorant music. Check this out.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm like, I get leery when people send me music, especially
that's
if there's...
That's how I am when Drew tells me,
yeah,
check this band out, but the LLNN,
yeah, and so
one
like,
of the bands.
Yeah.
It's turned out to be like one of my favorite.
I was shown it
bands
like a month ago, and I became obsessed, and I was like, fuck, I need to get these guys on the podcast.
Yeah.
This record is... Unmakers. Speaking like it's fucking unreal.
Yeah, it's so sick.
Yeah, and then I was like making the comment. Speaking, I think that's why I started talking to you about like just the idea of wallowing in something like that. Record isn't a here's a song. Yeah. I'm listening to the single. It's like it's from start to finish. It feels like,
you know,
like everything gets wiped off the fucking face of the earth.
It's
and
an experience.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, and so I've been showing.
Weird if I have to like, you know, if I'm listening into my vehicle and I have to like go into a store or something, I'm like, I pick it back up and I'm like, I'm just gonna start it over again.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy. Their last full length that came out, the guy that did the music for the movie Dunkirk wrote a review on that record.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's because it has so much theatrical,
that's
like...
what they go for.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's literally too, like you could pair their music to movies for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's what was so crazy about their new EP they just put out, was that like it was sort of based on like Event Horizon. And,
yeah.
Like, which is weird because that's all I think of when I see it is like... something very sci-fi horror shit. That's
and it's exactly awesome that. Too. We're doing a music video for their track, which is like their version of Day in the Life of the Fool. And that's coming out the release day, so February 16th. I don't know if you're gonna be putting this out before then or not.
Probably after.
After. Okay. Well, anyway, check out that video since it's already out.
In the future, it's already
future
out.
Us is very excited about this already.
But Tony Kuhn, who did we call it the I Nevers video, but the I'll Never Be the Same and I'll Never Smile Again. There was like a two-part video that we released last year. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep.
Super high production. Literally looks like a movie.
Yeah. Tony's
amazing. Yeah, just absolute madman when it comes to visual arts. And he did the video for this song. And he's actually, yeah, dude, it's good.
It's
like
so
we're,
good.
I'm pushing on. He wants to put it in the film festival this year, and I'm like, dude, do it.
Yeah.
Like it is killer.
Yeah.
Because like John Connor, the music behind it, it's so theatrical.
Yeah.
And like the video, I'm not going to spoil anything for you. It's one of those videos where you got to actually watch because like it has a plot to it, and at the end you're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, the very end is like, oh,
yeah.
I didn't see that
coming. Yeah, like I was like.
So I assume you're not acting in it then.
No, we're not.
No, not at all.
Then it's going to be great.
We want.
So you don't get to see our fucking ugly faces in it.
Well, that was on purpose though. Like every video for Relapses, we didn't want to be in.
Right.
So like the first singles we had those like the animation, and then we had like, well, I guess we had like the tour footage stuff.
Yeah,
all,
we did one tour footage.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. But
that was playing really. It was us on the road, you know.
Yeah, but that song, the Black Magnet song, The Other Side, like the moment I heard that song, I was like, man, this sounds like fucking Prodigy and I love it. And like, I remember telling him and the other dudes, like, right off the bat, like, if we do a video for this, it's got to be like sped up traffic. Because it just has that, you know, it just, I don't know, man, it just, it has that D&B,
right.
You know.
Well, it was interesting because I'd wondered, you know, through doing the individual conversations with you guys leading up to the drop of Distractions, that I had wondered if, because of how long you'd kind of been sitting on everything, if this was something that, because of that, afforded you the time to really plan this out to kind of be a nice, like, double release, not too far apart from the initial thing. But it sounds like this happened, and the idea was not that long ago, and it happened very fucking quickly.
I would say that
put his all, honestly, like, this is all Drew, you know, like, he, it was kind of his baby over the past few months, several months, you know. And I mean, I didn't have much to do with it, neither did any of us, you know, besides like helping with ideas and stuff. But this is all Drew, you know, for sure.
But well, thank you, but yeah.
I'm too busy. I mean,
yeah, well, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it basically really came to fruition last April is when, like, I got the okay from Good Fight. I had Zombie Shark okay, agreed to do a song, and that was it. You know what I mean? So there was, like, some legwork. You know, it really just started with just emailing.
Actually, I guess the thing that I'm most surprised wasn't the holdup, kind of getting really nerdy and in the weeds, is all the clearances of, like, anybody on other labels, because that will usually fuck things up real bad.
Yeah.
To get something done in any kind of
timely all the
manner.
Paperwork stuff kind of held us up here and there, you know, but it to fruition real fast.
Yeah, it did. Well, that's the thing is so when I pitched it to Good Fight, one of my pitches was it needs to be an exact year. And they're like, well, it's got to be a Friday, so it'll be the 16th of February, not the 17th of February. And I was like, I don't care. That's 364 days. We're fine. But basically, so in April, when Good Fight gave us the okay to start doing it, we're like, okay, we need to have everybody that's going to be part of this, like, agreed and on paper by, like, June, and we can make this work, you know? And then, like, these lawyers took, like, forever putting together the contracts for all 13 of us, yeah. All 12 artists plus us. We actually haven't even seen anything for ours. Don't you cut that part.
cut that.
But yeah, like our Rick from Good Fight was at his wit's end with these lawyers, man. He's like, this is fucking killing me. And then we get them all back and they have spelling errors and like they mixed up people's addresses and stuff. And we're just like, motherfucker. But like overall, once that hiccup of like getting everybody, like each artist to say yes and like assigning a song to everybody, that was really the hardest work for us as a band. It's just like emailing people and being like, fingers crossed, you know, like I emailed, like we were talking about the other day, you asked me who, if I emailed anybody that didn't reply or anything,
right, yeah.
Like Author Punisher, you know, like yeah, Tristan would have been badass, but
I'm friends with the Youth Code crew and I asked them and they're just too busy, and I would have loved to have Youth Code do something, but they're just real life stuff,
and,
you know,
and like, same with like Dylan from Full of Hell. We explained that to him, and him and I actually texted back and forth like a week. Our drummer Jimmy and him have known each other for a really long time, so we reached out to him, and he was like, "Yeah, this sounds like a really really cool idea." And I actually originally he was going to be the one doing that collab with me, and then like he was on the hooks till. I don't know, right around the end of, like, I had all the everything else all lined up, and he just came back and was like, dude, I'm sorry, but I just have I committed to too many things.
Right.
Which he did, you know what I mean? Like, they put out, like, 3 records last year. It's ridiculous. But, so, yeah, then I went, like, well, who now? And then I reached out to Pedram, and he was just like, yeah, dude, that'd be so cool.
Those Frontier dudes are so cool.
They really are.
They're fucking awesome.
Chad is an absolute sweetheart,
like, Orange
too.
Mathematics is probably one of my, besides Unmaker, probably my, you know, I got one of my favorite fucking
albums. I forgot to tell you this the other day. So speaking of our label, Rick, he kind of assumed that all the musicians were all electronic and didn't listen to Frontier. He listened to it the other day. He's like, I just listened to Orange Mathematics. He's like, fuck, I need a cigarette.
Dude, it's so good. It's like ultimate gym fucking album.
Yeah,
like,
dude, I get so pumped.
It is a beat down after beat. It is
Their albums are fucking amazing. That's just my favorite.
Well, I think like that kind of... It's funny, like I just posted this yesterday and it's such a... I think it's just a byproduct of getting old, and I'm going to say this, and I know at least Fox is going to agree with me on this, but sometimes, like, when people want to show me heavy music or, like, I just get inundated, for me at least, like, getting the emails of all these bands, and, oh, it's 17 adjetives to tell you what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, dude, I could give a fuck less about your, like, Amish grindcore band from, like, you know, wherever the fuck. I don't care.
Bludgeoning symphonic deathcore with a
like,
black...
I barely listen to, like, heavy music at all. But so if anybody's like, check out this fucking sick band, I'm like, I probably am not going to like it.
So, like, I go through these phases, and, like, right now, like, my phase is, like, I found a station on Sirius XM that's, like, 90s and 2000s R&B and hip-hop, and I'm like,
ooh,
that is my fucking sweet spot.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
And even when they play the same songs I've already heard a couple times in the last, like, couple days, I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, who gives a fuck?
It's a thing where, but then it takes something like Unmaker where I'm like, fuck, man, I love love heavy music, and it really reminds me why I love aggressive music. But it was like I saw a thing from Twitching Tongues said at like FYA or whatever, and it was just them with all the lights on and shit, and everyone's just like twitching fucking tongues and just goes ape shit, and I'm like, yeah, that's really ignorant, and I love it. I don't know how I could not love this.
I don't think I've
ever
listened to them.
But it's funny to go through and traverse this life where it's like, I think predominantly, and it doesn't help that, you know, the three of us are very heavily tattooed, and people just go, oh, you love metal.
Right,
and you're like, I mean, I do,
like,
but I also like these other things.
Yeah.
And something I think I had said to you during our individual chat was, I think See You Next Tuesday is kind of becoming something more adult, more grown up.
Well, we are.
We're back, that's for sure. In execution, and even I think in just understanding who you are as people, because I think we're all more comfortable with who we are.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about us. We're just doing stuff we like to do, you know? Like, and that, before, you know, I think we had that mentality before, but we were still like worried, you know? Cool. But now we're just like.
Remember you and I going to the Intervals CD release?
Yeah, we're like.
You want to hear it? And I was like, sure. And you were just like, what do you think of this song? Like, the different kind of songs you were doing. You're like, what'd you think of that? And I was like, it's awesome.
Right.
You're like, oh,
I mean, that kind of proved it back then, still to this day, that people don't even know we put that album out.
Yeah,
it's weird. Because it's so drastically different from Parasite. Like, but that was more us then than Parasite was, you know?
Well, you and I were saying at the time, not to speak out of turn, but it's like, I remember you just going like, this is really where we want to go.
Yeah.
And we kind of very, very, for like a split second, hinted at it on Parasite. We kind of really just decided to go all in on ourselves and what we wanted to do. And like I think I had said to you at the time, I was like, that's like the most scary and awesome thing you can do is when you realize like, this is me unapologetically, and I hope you dig it.
Like you and me were listening to like Pelican and ISIS, and then also like Aborted and Rotten Sound,
Origin, Rotten Sound,
Regurgitate. You know, and that was more what we Regurgitate, huge. Yeah. You know,
Sickening Bliss was like probably my most listened to record in 2007.
So like we cared way more about that type of stuff than we did prior like spazzy like grind stuff, you know, like,
you know. And in the words of Rick Rubin, man, I mean, when you create something for yourself is the only time you're going to truly create something special. You know, because like, I'll be honest with you, I got my Spotify rap back from last year and Distractions was my second most played record. Why? Because I fucking love it. Yeah, I wrote it for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just some music that I put together to get kids to beat each other up. It's not music to get to you know, prove something to somebody else. It's literally like, I just wanted to write some fucking killer tunes that, you know, checked all my boxes. And Distractions really did that for me, for sure.
Well, and I feel like that's sort of the interesting thing about doing kind of a remix record is, I mean, I know you and Fox and I have, when getting tattooed and stuff, like, talk about more ambient, like, you know, Portishead and, like, Imogene Heap.
I'm wearing
and, like,
a fucking Radiohead shirt right now.
Sure, stuff like that, like, where it's, like, again, kind of things outside of what maybe you think we would be listening to.
Right.
But it's, like, sometimes, like, that's where, like, it's interesting to kind of bring these things in together, like, and I think, and Drew probably now at this point I can ask you this, like, I feel like it's interesting when you have that wide scope of music to where then, like, I might talk to you and be like, oh, man, I really like this kind of, like, weird fucking, like, jazzy thing you were doing in here. That's, like, not like anything from what people would be your frame of references for. And same vocally, like I might be like, oh, I really like this like kind of weird vocal cadence you did that kind of reminds me of something like off of like Mike Patton off of like a Mr. Bungle record. Yeah,
that bums me out.
And
you just be out, like, huh? That bums me out, but okay.
Well, I'm just using that as like a reference. Like,
someone doesn't like Mike Patton.
That's okay.
Sorry, Mike Patton, not really.
Well, when you grow up and learn to appreciate finer things.
Woof, woof.
But it's a thing where, like, even doing this for as long as I have now, pulling out those things where people will comment and be like, I don't think you like this scene or I don't think you like this genre. And I'm like, I do, but I also love when people are able to bring completely far out of left field things like, into it.
It's funny because, like, people always get flabbergasted. My number one favorite artist of all time is Jamiroquai.
I'm jamming though
all the time, and people are like, what the fuck? You know, and I, you know, his lyrics are fucking great. And, like, I don't know his fucking real name. Like, that's the band's name. But
whatever.
Old top hat guy. But
it's actually Yegi Ta. If you remember that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you're right on the money, you know, for sure.
I feel like we're about to get the next sound check going soonish. So kind of start wrapping.
Well, we got time. Okay. We got till 7.
Yeah. Okay.
Technically. Okay. So.
Sorry, that kind of threw me in my brain. You know, I guess where with double album and stuff like that and kind of how fast everything's moving and kind of being able to do kind of whatever the fuck you want at this point.
Yeah.
What has it made you feel like you want to accomplish now moving forward? Because
that's a secret.
Sky's the limit.
Yeah,
because I've already started.
We got things coming up. We'll say that. Okay.
Is that at least a thing where, because of how maybe successful both of these, the new records in general and how far you took things, does it kind of make you feel excited to push the boundaries even more, creatively?
Our next project is really going to be different.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not like, we're not going into like country music or anything, you know, but how we're doing it is...
I mean, we're really kind of like chiseling in stone that we're not your average grindcore band. You know what I mean? Like, we're not just going to be distorted guitars and pink snare and talk about politics. Like, we talk about our mental decline, and, you know, I write music because I am chasing sobriety, and we have our own battles. But at the same time, like, our music is a reflection of that too. You know what I mean? Like, it's not straightforward music, and it never has been.
No. Do you know what's... I'm just going to throw this out there. I was thinking about it today. I almost see you possibly could go in a very weird route where the band kind of becomes an artist collective. It doesn't necessarily have to be any one, two, like the collection that makes the band. And here's how I came to that thing. Was Blood Has Been Shed when I talked to Corey a couple years ago. And I was like, so what the fuck is going on with this last record that was supposed to be almost done and it never came out? And he was like, well, because of Howard and Justin kind of being Killswitch and that was their main thing, we kind of approached Blood Has Been Shed from a completely different idea of it's not these core group of people. It's an artist collective, and I can have whoever drum on it. Like, maybe this guy I know is a better drummer for this
idea.
Sure,
that's what the Ocean does.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, hers collective has it in their name. I mean, they just released that record last year that had 3 guest members from other bands on each track. Like, they had 3 different bands on every single track helping them do something in some manner. And not necessarily saying that we're going in that direction per se, but I think that like musically, it's boundless when you just have more opinions and more artistic vision mixed into it. For example, one of the tracks on Relapse is done by Reckless Life, which is Derek from Chipong. He does like the noise stuff for Chipong, the avant-garde grindcore band from Brooklyn. When we were first doing this whole thing, I'm like, okay, so these tracks are gonna have, you know, I'll send all the audio files for one track to each person to write over. When as soon as I started talking to Derek and he agreed to doing a track, he's like, hey, can I have samples from like all over the record? And in my head, I'm like, that breaks the rules. But then I was like, wait, but that's like just someone else's vision. Like, this is part of why I wanted to incorporate other people, is to have other people's opinions. So I didn't, I kind of like wanted myself, I almost tried to make myself become like a yes man, where it's like, that's weird and makes me uncomfortable, but yeah, let's do it. So he sent me like this list of like, I want the guitar track from track, you know, song 2 at 30 seconds and the vocal part from track 3 at 44 seconds, stuff like that. He sent me this whole list of stuff. And, I mean, you can hear it all. It's like this cacophony of just, like, samples and noise, and he's very much a noise artist, and it's really, really rad. But, again, it was one of those things where, like you're saying, where it's, like, to extrapolate on it, I guess, is really the just being able to have more vision from other people, especially when you're picking people that you respect or like their own music. You know, like when I reached out to John Connor and they said yes, like Fox and I were giddy. You know what I mean? Totally. Like, I get to work with these people, you know? So it's like anything they wanted to do the track, we're going to say yes to. You know, so.
Well, I feel like it just, listening to you talk about this remix record, it just feels like a very grown-up way to do it, because instead of being like, it's my way, it's got to be my way, and there's no other fucking way, and I'm not letting anyone touch my shit, it's such a therapy way to say it. Like, it's giving yourself, it's just the control. Like,
making yourself vulnerable.
Taking control off and, like, letting someone touch something that is very sacred, and especially for you, Drew, like, means so much to you personally. Yeah. I feel like that would have been so hard.
It was, especially when you got like a track back and I was like iffy on it, you know. Ugh. And I'm just like, and then I listened to it and I'm like, you know what, now that's one of my favorite tracks. I'm not going to say who it was, but but you know what I mean, where it's exactly that, you know. There was one track that I got back that I was like, I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just like, I don't know, it'll warm up to me. And then I shared some of the songs with some of the other artists and stuff, and everybody kept being like, man, that one track was like my favorite. And I'm like, I gotta listen to that track more. And now it is one of my favorites. But
for me, it was when Kyle and Rich took my lyrics and redid, because we did the two electronic songs as actual grind songs, Repeating Patterns and Sweetest Pot, you know? And they took my lyrics and repatterned them over the songs, and I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna go, but they
we're playing them tonight,
dude. Oh yeah, we're actually, I've had to learn their patterns now because we're playing those songs, and it's been a mind fuck for me because I'm so used to the original ways.
Right.
But God, they fucking, I was nervous about it, but I'm like, you guys just want to sing for us now? Like, what the fuck? They both did such a good job.
Yeah, and like Rich did his using like a fucking Yeti in his bathroom, and like
it sounds so good.
But like, there's no I put no distortion on it. That was literally you hear his voice on that record, and it's just him distorting the Yeti. Mm. Like, there's nothing on there but a shitload of EQ trying to make the bathroom that he recorded in sit somewhere in the mix. And then Kyle, you know, like, has somebody that's a professional studio in an afternoon, sends me over, like, all these tracks, like, perfectly EQ'd, compressed, and I'm like, all right. But, yeah, they both absolutely killed it.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
I guess that would be something interesting is sort of, and I guess I didn't really think of this, is because I haven't heard of the record, honestly, but thinking about how potentially your vocals, the melodies and stuff you came up with, how those could change, and maybe
it's weird
you
hearing
to
some
it, then
of the
going
tracks
like,
where, like, you know, that my lyrics are a story,
right,
more
right.
than, you know, most of the time. You know, there's a start, a middle, and a conclusion to each song, and, well, for most of them that are over 10 seconds long. But, yeah, so, like, I'll only... You know, they were, like, cutting up my lyrics and putting them in different places, and it made me feel really uncomfortable at first, but after, like, listening to the tracks, like, I get what they were trying to go for. It's more about the sound of my voice.
And the cadence of it,
and the patterns that it is.
It's funny, I just pulled up a conversation between me and Rasmus from John Connor. So, again, they're from the Netherlands, so their English is not their first language. He sends me a message and was like, hey, we're going to play the track that we did for you guys live. We have a guest vocalist. I don't remember the band that he said it was from. But he's like, hey, can you send us the lyrics? So I just copy and pasted Day in Life of the Fool and send him the lyrics. And he's like, can you send me the lyrics in the way that we did it? So, like, legit, I went through and was like, all right, you did this line two times and you did this line two times. It's all cut up. Like, if you read it how they do it, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, but it's more about, you know, the patterns of my vocals.
Well, that's like, famously,
what I'm saying, you know.
I think it was Backstreet Boys had a song, one of their songs, and it's. It was written by, like, a German pop duo.
Oh, all right.
So English wasn't the first, or maybe it was some other language where, like, English isn't their language.
Right.
And when the lyrics, they're like, this makes no fucking sense. And they tried redoing it to make it make sense in English. And they're all like, actually, it sounded way better the other way. and it would be funny if I could remember the song, but, like, it's, like, one of their biggest hits.
That's funny.
But it's weird how, like, shit like that happens sometimes it's, like, sometimes almost the language barrier between people can make something kind of crazy that you wouldn't think would fit because you're like, that doesn't work, but it does. Yeah. I don't know how.
You know what's weird, too? I recently found out that accents can't be understood in singing because singing uses a different part of your brain than language does, which doesn't make any sense, but it does. So not to speak about John Connor a lot, but obviously we're big fans of them. They have this...
They saved the resistance, man.
Yeah. They're... They have a vocalist from Hungary that they take with us. There's a lot. They did a session that was live at Roadburn from last year, and they had this Hungarian vocalist. And like, I listen to it in my car, and I find myself like kind of singing along to it, even though like he's clearly not even speaking English. But like, he's such a good singer, and it has like an audible, you know, it has like an English feel to it because it's just singing. It's just, you know, fun little fact, I guess. Tidbit.
Fun, I guess, kind of wrapping up question.
Yeah, sure.
Doing something like this, and I guess not to discredit your profession as a male person, but I guess it more applies to you, Fox. Like, does doing something like this to either of you, where you kind of no rules, no boundaries, kind of reapproaching something that maybe felt familial to you for so long, has taking these chances and doing all these things in a different way, has that permeated into any other facet of your life where you've kind of given yourself permission to approach something completely differently now?
I don't think as far, you know, I will say that as kind of a negative part of everything that's happened with See You Next Tuesday since we started back up is my career has taken like a huge hit because I'm spreading myself very thin. But in response to what you're asking, I don't think my tattooing has really like done any. I'm still doing the same shit, you know. It's just kind of me. But my art outside of tattooing has changed quite a bit on how I approach it, you know, because I was mostly just doing tattoo stuff, you know, and before, you know, I was doing like a lot of landscape paintings that were like for me, but not anything else really.
Right.
And I've kind of ventured into some like really abstract type, just for me type stuff. I don't know how to explain it, but I think it has kind of came from doing stuff with the band, like how I'm approaching it a little bit differently and not really giving a fuck what anybody else thinks about it.
Right.
And I to answer the same question, for me, I think it's actually the opposite. Getting my life together outside of the band is what made me get back into the band, and my awesome wife that just was like, you need to play music, you're killing yourself, not, you're an idiot, goodbye guitar. But you know, like coming out of COVID and stuff was really hard, and I found sobriety, and I think that like that strength there is what kind of gave me the I'm going to write whatever the fuck I want, you know, like I'm not going to rewrite Parasite just because people want to hear Parasite. I'm going to write a record that fucking crushes in my opinion, and if people happen to like it, then really that's super neat. And I'm not trying to discredit the fact that, you know, that people do greatly appreciate our music and stuff, you know, like I love hearing the positive feedback from it, but that wasn't mine, like that wasn't the reason I did it either, you know what I mean? So
last question for you, What does see you next Tuesday mean for you now versus when you started?
It's a big pain in the ass. No, it's cool when we're out here, but at home, you know, like it's hard to manage. You know, I'm in now two other bands besides See You Next Tuesday, so I'm working on
Poor Back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, I'm working on two other projects on top of See You Next Tuesday, plus my artwork, plus my career. So
and you
like,
bought a house, so get ready to enjoy all that shit.
What's that?
I said I heard you bought a house, so get ready to enjoy all that shit.
No, I didn't buy a house.
Oh, well, then good
not yet.
He's not yet. I'm about to be a real adult, probably. Oh. But
it's not worth it.
But
I don't know, I like my house.
Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, so I mean, when we're out here doing the thing, it's fantastic. When I'm at home, it's kind of like, fuck, don't talk to me. I got other shit to do.
He gets romantic. You know? For me, it's it's therapeutic to me, right? For example. Coming out of like Thanksgiving and stuff, we played our last show of 2023, which was an absolute fucking banger of a show, that From a Second Story Window show. And then we had this big hiatus till today, you know, I mean this weekend.
Yeah.
And outside of just getting together for some practice, we really hadn't done a lot, you know, musically. And then working through the holidays as a mailman and stuff, like I started getting not to the point where like I started like getting depressed or anything like that, or rethinking drinking or anything stupid, but like I could tell I was stressing myself out to some manner. And it was actually my wife that told me. She's like, "Well, you're not writing, you're not playing your guitar nearly as much. You don't have a reason to." And like it was literally I made like this notepad on my phone because I was working a lot. It was Christmas time and as a mailman, and I made this notepad on my phone and started making notes like, oh, I have this idea for a song. I took a note. I had an idea for a song. I wrote a note. And literally just organizing my thoughts in that manner was therapeutic enough to like de-stress me. And then I took it all to our drummer's house a few weeks ago and we recorded like 20 minutes of drum patterns and and that's where I'm going to stop.
Speaking of notes, because I do this where I will latch on to something I hear that I think is interesting.
Yeah.
And I want to sit with it and see what it makes me think or whatever.
Yeah.
So the other day, I was listening to a podcast, and the guys were talking about perspectives and therapy and stuff like that. And this person, and I forgot to write down who said it, but they go, it's possible to be a victim and a perpetrator at the same time.
Yeah.
And I really fucking like that, because I was like...
Yeah, for sure. That's
it is.
Interesting. And with that, where can everyone find either of you or anything you'd like to plug online?
We're on Instagram at the letter C, the letter U, Next Tuesday Grind. You can find us on TikTok, same moniker. You can find us on YouTube, same moniker. And you can find us on Facebook, which is probably the least cool to find us on. So try the others first.
As far as I'm concerned, on Instagram, you can find me, my tattoo stuff and art at Fox Tattoos. I have two other projects, one of which is the band I was in before See You Next Tuesday. We are reuniting. I don't know for how long or for what, but we're playing at least one show.
For what?
That's Flesh and Blood Robot. I think it's Flesh and Blood Robot Metal on Instagram.
For some reason, I thought it was like fabric, like still under the FABR.
I don't fucking know. Just
yeah,
search
I think it
Flesh
is
and Blood Robot.
Metal, yeah.
And then the studio project I was involved with during See You Next Tuesday's hiatus, we're finishing an album that we started probably about 5 or 6 years ago. We're working on that right now. So that'll hopefully be out later this year or early next year via a certain label that we might have mentioned a few times this.
Interesting.
And maybe.
And by the time this comes out, Relapses will be out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that'll be everywhere.
Relapses.
Just literally go onto any streaming platform. That'll be everywhere. Bandcamp, Spotify, iTunes, all those other ones. Tidal.
Tidal is still a thing.
Yeah, what's the other one? Isn't there like a dingus one or something?
Deezer?
Deezer, that's it.
Yeah.
Dingus. Bung Dungus.
Bung Dungus.
Wait, wasn't that here?
That was Chicago.
Oh, damn.
Whoever Bung Dungus is on fucking Instagram is our favorite person ever.
We just played Chicago last night.
You didn't Bung Dungus anything.
Fuck.
Bung Dungus has been our new favorite.
That's our mosh call.
Yeah. Bung Dungus. Well, it's just some dude's fucking Instagram name that we saw. That
you gotta put it on merch then. Make it official.
Should,
or put it as a mosh call.
He might
part.
Fucking sue us, man.
It's true. He could.
You got that good fight money now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks. You mean good fight has our money?
Thanks again for taking the time.
Thanks,
looking forward to this.
Thanks, John.
So that was my conversation with Drew and Fox. I want to thank them once again for taking the time during the sound check load-in time, which is a very busy, chaotic time if you're ever there at a venue for such a thing. Constantly people leading you, being pulled in a million directions. Kind of reminded me of putting on shows. And I don't know that a lot of other promoters would be there for sound check and load-in, but I always was, just to kind of make sure everything was going good. And if anyone needed anything, since I was usually the point of contact between the venue and the bands, that I was there. But greatly appreciate their time. Go pick up Relapses. It is out now via Good Fight Music. The band will be touring in April for a little bit, so go check them out if you are able to and they're coming near your area. I know I kind of spoke very highly of all the bands that played on the intro, but I didn't really mention a takeaway for me actually seeing the band this last time. I haven't seen them since literally Interval's CD release show. So I haven't seen them in probably a good almost 10 years or more. And honestly, they just sound so much better live sonically than I really ever remember them sounding at any point in their career before that. I don't know if it's just due to, you know, technology being better, sound people having better things to mix with, or if I'm just kind of used to seeing them in more DIY venues versus kind of a more established actual venue. But all things considered, they put on a great show. The new material and the old material mixes really well together. They did a very good job of putting a set together that I think kind of allows them to navigate the whole tenure of their career, which ultimately I think is a great thing for fans of the band, new and old. So go see them, go support them. Definitely check out the new record. Obviously, the other thing too that I thought was really interesting is possibly speaking to the band becoming a collective, question marks. You know, I kind of prose that to them, not really, almost kind of thinking that I was just like way off with my line of thinking. And then I don't know, maybe I stumbled onto something with that. So have to stay tuned and see what's going on with that band. But to start wrapping up the episode, if you'd like to keep up with See You Next Tuesday, you can go to See You Next Tuesday Grind on Facebook, Instagram at See You Next Tuesday Grind, and Twitter. I think I said this last year, but they have See You Next Tuesday, S-Y-N-T, on Twitter, but the account hasn't been updated or tweeted since a tour they were doing going to Canada with the Acacia Strain, which I think was over a decade ago. I think it was, I forget what the date was, but I remember being like, that is old as shit. It hasn't been updated since. So at that point, I don't think they have an active Twitter account, so, or X or whatever. Who does anyone even call it X at this point? I still feel like everyone calls it Twitter. Even when you type in Twitter, it still takes you to X. So whatever, who gives a shit? Fuck you, Elon. You can call it Twitter. You're never going to get people to call that thing X. And if you would like to pick up merch from the band, you can go to seeyounexttuesdaygrind.bigcartel.com. That's C-U-N-T next Tuesday. So it's all in the show notes below. Just whatever you're listening to this on, I've done all the work for you. If you'd also like to keep up with Fox, you can find him on Instagram at FoxTattoos. And I guess if you're in the Michigan area, in Lansing, or coming through and going to be near Lansing and would like to get a tattoo by Fox, go ahead and hit him up. And Rick, also, they both work over at Fish Ladder Tattoo out in Lansing. It's a great shop. I haven't been tattooed by Fox in quite a while, and actually I need to rectify that. I have a leg piece that has been in the process of being finished for, let's see, since before I've been with my wife. So that's at least 13 years. So I need to get back on that. That should be my new priority, is to finish my fucking leg tattoo with Fox. So Fox, if you're listening to this, expect that I'll probably be hitting you up soonish to finish my leg for real this time. and get some by Rick as well. That dude has been, I mean, as you heard in our conversation last year, he just kind of got bullied into a career tattooing, but he also does some sick shit. So go check out those dudes, and again, pick up Relapses. It's out now. And I want to thank Rockabilia for their continued support. Go to rockabilia.com. I still haven't gotten the code to get fixed, but go over there and support them anyway for supporting us. Lots of great merch, lots of crazy things that they are still working on, collabs. St. Paddy's Day is the next holiday, and I'm very excited to see who they're going to do something with. I feel like you have to do something with either Flogging Molly or Dropkick. Like, I just feel like they are the ambassadors for rock, metal, whatever, for St. Paddy's Day. Like, I don't see how that's not a thing. So if they don't do something with them, I'm going to be very disappointed, honestly. I'm going to text Frank and be like, you fucked up. And then if you want to support the show, follow us on all the socials, Bruce Speak Pod, rate, review, subscribe, all the things that everyone says. Greatly appreciated. You can email me as well, brutallyspeaking@gmail.com. If you would like to give me some guest suggestions or just keep the conversation going in a more private manner, have very much been appreciative of everyone that's been reaching out and commenting. I've been getting a lot of comments on the YouTube videos. Someone just recently found the show, has been kind of cherry picking. It's been interesting actually to see the episodes they comment on, because I'm like, oh, okay, like I see that you're into this band, and like you kind of see a through line of, you know, someone's entry point into the show. But I hope that they also take the time to go through and listen to maybe ones that they're not expecting to enjoy. But very much appreciative of everyone who's been listening and been checking it out. And also, just because, like I said in the intro, we started up the Bar Podcast. Very much appreciative of everyone who's been checking that out as well. A lot of kind words from people who listen to this show, who have been listening to that since it's in the feed. And it's just been a passion project of sorts with two of my great friends. So very much appreciative of just all the love I've been seeing for both shows at this point, which maybe I have to get back with Jackie and Corey and try to at least get this first season of The Green Room done. And then I'll have three podcasts, because why do we not need to have a million projects going at once? But all of that said, thank you so much for checking out this episode. Come back next week, where I have Nathaniel from Archers on. That may be a band that you're not familiar with, but we have definitely had a great chat, and you'll hear more about how I was able to find out about that band and my experience seeing them live for the first time. So until next time, I'll talk to you all next week. Enjoy the rest of yours.